It's always a privilege when I have the opportunity to share God's word, what's on his heart, what he's put on my heart to share with you. If you ask Belinda what type of movies are my favorite kind of movies, she could tell you the action movies. When I get home, I kind of get intense sometimes, depending on what it is. And she's laughing already. There was a movie released in 1971 called The French Connection. And I use this title only to relate to my title, God's Connection. But it was called a crime thriller. It was in 1971. And I call my title The God Connection. And it was released like 30 AD. Okay? And it's called The Mercy Thriller. And Rick Warren has a wonderful definition of mercy and what that means. And it's called God's love in action. That's what mercy is, God's love in action. And just like you, God puts on our heart sometimes in seasons to think about certain things in our walk, in our faith walk. And the two areas that he's kind of challenged me with again as I was praying about what I'd be sharing this morning, is how can I know God more? And I think that's a good question for new people. I think that's a good question for the veterans that are sitting out here, that we can never be content with where we are in God, and that God wants us to keep moving forward in what he's doing. And the second part of this is, how can I be a more effective Christian and being an influence to others? And that doesn't mean just an effective Christian to other Christians, but effective to non-believers, those who don't know Christ. Because aren't they a big part of why we're here to make disciples, the Great Commission? So the context of my lesson today is connecting with God. The hows, how do we connect with God? Why do we connect with God? And I think this is a big question, too, is how do we fit into the dynamics of the church? And I don't think I'm the only one who has those type of questions. I think each of us do at times when we just feel a little distant from God or we're not connecting, is how can we fit into God's plan? And God gives us, he gives us some clear answers to that. Obviously, he doesn't give us all the answers to the Bible. That's why we study the Bible every day. But even then, we don't know all the answers to what he has for us. Let me see if I can use this illustration, and we'll try to bring it around at the end of the message here. do you remember those activity books as a child? And I still kind of use them today because I have grandchildren now. It's my only excuse. But you know those... it's called connect the dots. I call it connect the dots, okay? You may get a little object over here in the page and a little line over here and a little description of this, but there's all kinds of dots. And when you finally put all the dots together, you get an image, and it's a big, clear picture. And it's a big clear picture of what all those dots represent. And I think that's how we start out in the church sometimes with coming into the church for the first time. And how does this all work, you know? I don't know much about church. I don't know much about God. But then we get to see the big picture of Jesus Christ. My goal this morning, to start with a couple comments, is to discover more about God, to know God better. And the way I think of it in my mind is one step at a time. It's knowing God more than we did yesterday, and tomorrow learning more than what we know today. It's a progressive type of thing, but it's something God wants us to do. It's one thing to put God's word in our head and try to think of what that says. Oh, that's good. That's nice. All that. But when we bring it from our head to our heart and we experience really God's love for us, he puts a desire in our heart to want to know him more. I think another question new Christians or even others that are walking in Christ have a question about, can we know everything about God? No, we can't know everything about God. But at the same time, he gives us enough information in our walk with him to live a life that he wants us to live, a life that is promising and fulfilling, that has purpose and meaning. Does your life have purpose and meaning every day? Do you remember when you didn't know Christ, that when it didn't have purpose and it didn't have meaning, and how Christ wrapped his arms around you, extended his hand out to you, and said, I'm with you, and I'm offering you something today. Another comment is, he says he cares for me, that he will be there when I need him. When we face trials, when we face different crises in our life, and that's not just, you know, that's in our job, that's in our, could be in our finances, our relationships with others, in ministry. We need to rely on God, and he's there for us, and his hand is stretched out to help us in that area. And I get this comment several times, working in different ministries in the church and my Sunday school class with new people and stuff. It says, we at times feel close to God, that God is close to us, and at other times we feel like he's a million miles away. Does anyone else ever experience that? Just me, huh? Okay. And the question, oh, good one back there. Why is that? So we're going to try to answer those questions today. God has shown me that he is powerful, that he is mighty. Just as Scripture says, I've seen him work in my life personally. I've seen him work in Belinda in my life as a married couple, bringing up our kids and our children, that as we allow him and open ourselves to him, and we come close to God and connect with him, he brings everything we need into our lives. He's my strength. He's my joy. That's one of my prayers, that as days go forward, I can be filled with more joy in a natural way that shows people I really do love Christ. we say many times, either from the pulpit or whatever, we say, there's nothing God cannot do. Is that amen? Amen? Well, this is a trick question, okay? But let me retract that statement. God cannot steal. God cannot lie. God cannot sin. And I could probably add to that. But, well, let me simplify down what I'm trying to say here and some of the reasons why, good reasons to connect with God. Number one, first and foremost, he created us. He created us to love him and to fellowship with him and to worship him. I love the song, In the Garden. We think of all the events in the Bible that Jesus was involved in, all his healing and different things, and interacted with people, whether good or bad. But he did one thing more than anything else. He went to the Father to hear his voice. He went to the Father to be close to him, to be guided by him and led by him. And he created you. He knows you. And he wants you to know him. He already knows you, okay? He knew you before the beginning of time. He knew your name before you knew your name. He knows how many hairs were on your head, right? But sometimes with all the problems we have in our lives, he's the one that can fix us. And he's the one who can meet our deepest needs. And the other question, the other comment point I had on this is, yes, God is approachable. I don't know if you remember some of the stories in the Old Testament when Moses and Aaron went up to the mountain, the second time. And he said, everyone else stay at the bottom of the mountain, at the base of the mountain. And this is your permit. If you go past this, except for Moses and Aaron, you may be killed. Okay? We think of the Ark of the Covenant through the time Israelite was going through the dry land, is at a certain time, once a year, only the high priest could go into the tent of the Holy of Holies, and anyone else would be killed. And on the other hand, we see the New Testament, and I hope this comes off right. It's like God invented the easy pass. Less tolls, less interruptions, and a direct route to our destination. It's called grace. It's called Jesus. Jesus is waiting for your response. Are you a responder today to that easy pass? All he asks is to know him, to sincerely come to him and ask him into our heart. And of course, what we always preach each and every week, that God desires a relationship with him. And it's just vital, vital for us to connect with God only through that relationship. I was thinking of the word relationship and what it means to me, whether it's with God or whether it's with people. I had three thoughts, and you could go on and on and on with this. But one is acceptance. And what I mean by acceptance is a true sense of belonging, a true sense of fitting in with people both ways, vice versa. We care for each other. I remember in high school and through the that time in high school, that was a challenge for me. So it brought to memory right away. You know, I did a lot of sports and things, but I wasn't the cool guy on the team. And it was okay while I was playing ball, but outside ball, it was like, you know, they laughed behind your back and all kinds of things, and never really connected, and I never felt that belonging that would be true. Second one was healthy relationships, friends who genuinely care for each other, who genuinely love each other, no matter what. And to be there through the thick and thin of things. And the third one was trust. Trust to me is a combination of being able to be honest with someone, but to share it in love and know that that's going to be received in a way that it doesn't affect that relationship, except you know that person desperately cares for you and wants to see you in a better spot than what you were. Trust has to do with character and integrity, being truthful and honest with others. I believe these three values in particular are kind of universal, and I think it hits home to all of us that if not all three of these, one of these or two of these are something that impacted our lives at one time. Belonging, having genuine friends, or being able to have that tough conversation with someone and still know they'll love you when it's all over. So I have three questions for you to think about. And I think they're legitimate questions. They're legitimate questions for friends amongst ourselves, but even for God. God doesn't mind if we have questions for him. Or the church. First one is, why would I want to connect with God? Why would I want to connect with God or the church? The second one is, how do I fit in? How do I fit into the church? And the third one, to answer this question, what would be the value of connecting with God in the church? So let's kind of start connecting those dots together. And say we'll see what we come up with. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, who through his humility and example to us, he showed us a way to you. Thank you, Lord, for your tremendous love for us by sending your Son to die for us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would fill this place and bring a message of hope and continued urgency to grow in you, to walk with you, and to love you so we can love others. Lord, may your grace and mercy just abound in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me quickly read the short scripture that I had prepared for today. It's Philippians 2, 1 through 4. It says, if you have been encouraged by being in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Each of you should not only look at your own interests, but at the interest of others. Here, this is, even though it's Paul speaking, it's Jesus offering, with learning to understand what Jesus offers to us in who he is. He offers us encouragement. These are all things to do with relationship, right? He offers us comfort and love. He offers us fellowship in the Spirit with God, and he's tender and he's compassionate. These are all some of the whys of why would I want to connect with God. I guess in a short, compact version, this is who God is. He cares for me. He accepts me just as I am. I love that song, Just As I Am. You know, did I have my act together before God drew himself to me so I could choose him? I doubt it. And probably none of us. But it's an awesome thing. And maybe just a lot of these ideas, we don't think about them much and we don't meditate on them long to really appreciate and give thanks to what God does. And he wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. You know, we're talking about God right now and how we can connect with him and all that kind of stuff. Let's kind of use the same context, but a different scenario. Imagine an adopted child meeting their new mom and dad for the first time. And he walks into the new home to strangers. When God reaches out to us, he's a stranger to us, right? Because we really don't know him. The feelings that we have, they could be feelings of anxiety or scared for this child coming into the new home. There could be resistance, not only because of unfamiliar surroundings, but even maybe because of the overwhelming expression of love. You know, young children as well as adults sometimes don't experience genuine love in their whole lives until they meet that time with God. And it's something different for them. Maybe other circumstances. There's other parts of the formula within that family. Maybe the parents already have siblings of their own. And how are they going to work that out with them? When we come into a church, we God encourages us to work together, to be united, like-minded. Sometimes an adopted child has different cultural differences. How many times do we know that an adopted child comes from another country? You know, and how does the mom and dad help bring that first day into their lives with some comfort? And I don't know why I thought of this, but I thought of food. not just comfort food, but I thought how nice it would be for that family, the parents, to maybe their first meal. It's not a meal that we make in America, but it's a meal that that child will be comfortable with, that when they smell it, it smelled like home. It smelled like something that brought down those walls. And on the other hand, you might have the service guy who's coming home from boot camp after 9 months of eating all this stuff from the cafeteria, and he finally gets a good home-cooked meal, you know, from mom and dad. So there's lots of things we that counteract with that comfort level. And today, Jesus might be inviting you into his house. And whether it's the adopted child, but experience and love, and we know God is love because that's who he is. He's love. But sometimes we need to just test the waters. If you're here for the first time, or you don't know Jesus Christ, sometimes you just need to test the waters and step out in faith and jump in. You know, sometimes we put the toe in, try to test the water, see if it's hot, cold, whatever. But sometimes we just need to jump in. And like how God cares for us, these parents represent the same. I'm just trying to create a similarity here. Is they care for that child. They accept that child. No matter with all these things they got to work through to bring everyone together, the siblings, the culture, the smells. And they want the best. They want the best for that child. And that's how God is with us. A question I need to ask, because it specifically pertains to the message, is God a stranger to you? Is he a stranger to you? I don't mean is sometimes he feels a little distant, but is he really a stranger to you? Maybe you've been here a while and you don't, you still don't connect with God. I've known one or two people in my life that they profess and known God for many, many years. And I love them dearly. They keep coming back with the question, how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit or if it's just me? You know? And you're just wondering whether, I don't say that judgmentally or derogatory, but what I mean is, if someone proclaims they love the Lord and it's been 10 or 12 or 15 years, you got to wonder where they're coming from. But he doesn't want you to be a stranger. He longs for you to know him. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, that he is all sovereign, that he is all loving. When we pray, when we read God's word, it's so important that we bring it from here to here. And then when we read God's word, we meditate on God's word. And in meditating on God's word, he brings life to his words. And it starts to become ingrained inside of us. And he has made himself available to us, the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son. And he demonstrated that love to us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. Amen? Amen. And he gave us a way to reconnect. And the best part, just like that mom and dad of that adopted child, he accepts them. He accepts you right where you are. You are, I said this at least twice or three times in the last month to people who are just desiring so much to want to grow in the Lord, but they don't feel deserving of it, maybe is the right word. I say you are special to God. He loved, you are somebody, and he knows your name. Jesus appeals to everyone who wants to listen. He sat with the unbelievers. He sat with the tax collectors. He rubbed elbows with the Pharisees, not to get on their good side, but to help them see the light. And he showed mercy to the woman at the well who was living a godly lifestyle. One of my favorite parables in describing the love of our Heavenly Father is the prodigal son. When the son asked for his inheritance, and he was still at home, and he wanted to go off and do his own thing. We might all have one of those kids in our family. And he squandered, but in the end, he squandered his money, his inheritance. And he lived foolishly. And he was so desperate, he came back to his home, hoping his father would accept him. And ultimately, as we all know, who know the story, he came with him with a robe, and he stretched out his arms and willing to welcome him back into the home with open arms. But of course, I believe one thing that they don't share is he had new ground rules on the second time around. I've done a lot of whys, but let me just quickly share a couple more here. Why connect with God? Because he's created us to worship him and fellowship him as the one true and living God. Why connect with God? Every one of us have gone through times and crises in our lives where we couldn't move those mountains by ourselves, and we needed God, we needed Christ there to do it. And he's there to move the big ones, he's there to move the small ones. God is there. Because there's some things for us humans that are impossible to us. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? And just to have the comfort and confidence in knowing that if you're a believer, God is with you. Whether he seems near or far, he lives in your heart. And he will never leave you nor forsake you, as the Word of God says. And to end on the wise, he is a righteous and just God. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he promises that to us. The other side of this is the church. Why connect with God's church? Why connect with God's people? For the common bond of in serving God and serving each other, meaning spiritual and practical needs of the family and friends and church. We all have needs, besides helping each other. That's why we have a deacon's fund in our church, is to help those with a bill or an oil bill or just something going on in their lives where their finances are just a little off kilter. Maybe someone's lost their job or something. But on a more personal note, that we help each other as a church. We connect with people for fellowship, to meet together, to care for each other, to build one another up. And as Baptists, we enjoy good food. And we are blessed with a lot of people that we share that with. We invite each other over for lunches and breakfasts, and I hear about it all the time. And those are wonderful things in how we connect with each other. And the last point I have, the next point is to build healthy, meaningful relationships that last. Where we really and truly trust each other, we pray together, we share common interests that continue to influence our connecting and our deeper relationships with each other. And the last thing I have is with the help of the Holy Spirit, we connect with people by saving souls and disciples being made. Seeing I agree wholeheartedly, and it's the truth. Whether you witness someone coming to the Lord or you're part of that, what God is putting together to see that happen, it's the best thing in the world. But the second next best thing is watching someone grow in the Lord, watching someone blossom. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to either witness a lot of that just because of my role in the church, as well as things outside the church. But I've seen people in this church who were the shyest of shyest. And they wouldn't even mostly go out of their house. And now they're serving God in this church, and they're an influence on other people for the hope that Christ gives each one of us. And there's nothing more satisfying than knowing he's using me to help others. But I'm letting you know right now, he'll use you to help others too. But we got to be willing to connect. And what's the source? Jesus Christ, right? Through him, we connect with the Father. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Amen? So our prayer for new people, maybe first-time guests here, as a body of Christ, is that you connect with God. And it may not be that relationship right away, but it's going to be connected in some sort of way, in some source of the ministry of the church or connecting with people in the church will connect you with God. Genuinely feeling like you're welcomed. I'm not biased, but I love my greeters. I call them my greeters. They're God's greeters. They do just a great job. One of my prerequisites for greeters, though, is that they smile. If they don't smile, they're fired. No, I'm just kidding. Not really. But our greeters, and I got to extend that to the church in how you welcome new people in the church. And believe it or not, that's connecting with God. There's probably a lot of ways to connect with God, but my focus today is God in the church. We can connect with God one-on-one, and we can also connect with God when we connect with each other, because we're serving each other, we're caring for each other, and they see the example of Christ within us. Let me just share a word to the church, if I may. Why do we come to church? We come to church to worship our true God. There's many other reasons we come to church, but it is one significant, prioritized reason we come to church is to worship our Almighty God. We do it through what? We do it through God's Word. We do it through song. And we do it even through giving, as I prayed in our offering this morning. We worship. Giving our tithes and offerings is an act of worship. And we come here to give thanks to God. We come here to give thanks to God for what he's done in our lives through this last week. And we can turn that coin over too. We do sometimes come to church because we have needs. And we need to be just in God's presence, just to be still before God and to listen to him. We all have seasons like that. It doesn't matter who we are. None of us are exempt from that. But God, we need God at certain times in our lives because of circumstances. But we come to praise him. We come to worship him. Take all those things out of our mind that distract us. I just love it. There's times, and I'm sure you see too, that we see people praying in the lobby. We see people praying in the sanctuary. We see people praying outside in the parking lot after church. What a wonderful connection with God and his people. But people pray with each other a lot of times because there's stuff going on, there's baggage, there's burdens on their heart. And we all have that baggage sometimes. Before we knew God, we brought in the baggage with us. But God took it away because we allowed him to. He says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I just want to say, Greenville Baptist Church, we can always get better, but I thank you for how you love God and how you love the church. We talked about acceptance. Let's just talk a few minutes on how do I fit in. We fit in with God through reading his word and prayer. I think I already mentioned this, is that through my experience, and I can tell you I'm as guilty as anyone else, that sharing the word of God and being in the word of God personally and praying, there's a lot of discipline to that, to connecting with God. When you build a relationship with someone, you build a relationship with God, you can't do it once a month and feel you're going to build that relationship. We need to walk daily with God. And between, this is hypothetical, but between prayer and God's word, if you read 20 minutes a day, you're going to, and if you're not doing that, you're going to see a tremendous difference in your walk with God and God's spirit moving in you. And why I say that, I'll go back to, I remember times when I just kind of forgot about God for 3 or 4 days. It's in my earlier days mostly. Then on Saturday I would read for 3 hours, thinking I'd make up for all the reading I missed. But there's no connection. There's no connection with God. You need that day-to-day connection to be with him. How do we fit in? We fit in, I'm not going to elaborate on these at all, but just list them. Small group Bible studies, Sunday services, ministry opportunities, Christian radio and TV. These are ways we discover who God is, through the preaching of the word. How do we connect with each other? That wasn't hard for me. I say hi, how are you? My name is Pastor Ken. We're glad you're here today. Is that hard? That's how we connect with people in the church. We all have different stories to tell. We find common ground. We eat together. I've said enough about that already. We pray with each other. We serve one another. And because of these vibrant, healthy relationships, we connect with each other, but we also connect with God. When someone new walks into our church, how will they know we are of the same family? How will they know we are of the same family? Let me just give you the first thing I think of is when you go into someone's family room, or, you know, up the stairs and all the family pictures are on the side, going up to the second floor, you see resemblance. How do you know a family, a regular family, is of the same family? There may be resemblance in their chin, or their nose, or their eyes, and you say, "Yeah, they're the same family. That's the Morse family for sure," you know. But to start, I think the answer to the question I want to answer is, how about we start with, we look alike, we're the same family of God because of our faith in Christ. In how we worship and how we serve one another and our attitude toward God and each other. If you're looking for a perfect church, there is none, because there are no perfect people. But by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in our obedience to his word, we come closer to God daily. I think those are three significant areas that we need to tend to each and every day. And as we come together each Sunday, it's by God's grace, the power of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to his word. I don't know if you remember that coffee commercial back in, I'm going to guess, the 70s. I remember it as a kid. It's good to the last drop, you know. And I think, hopefully, this picture is coming pretty clear, that God is good. And he's good, I'm going to say, because of my message, he's good to the last dot, not the last drop, okay? Because we're still missing one dot that completes that everything we're talking about, and the answer is that Christ hasn't returned yet. And he's the one who fulfills what that big picture is going to look like. And what is. So until then, we'll wait patiently, doing the work of he has called us to do, and stand ready for his return to be forever. The answer to the mystery, the solution to the mystery in connecting with God, came in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. We connect with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bridge to knowing the Father. It's simple. With a sincere heart, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Son of God, and then on a third day he rose from the dead, you shall be saved. And you can have that relationship with God yourself. So I pray that whether it's quietly in your seats or our leaders that are here this morning or myself, to make a decision to connect with God, because he's reaching out to you. And now it's your time, it's your turn to accept him into your heart sincerely as Savior, Lord, and friend. And your life, it will be blessed and transformed. I'm convinced of it. You will find hope, joy, and peace, and salvation in Jesus Christ. So let's celebrate his goodness every day. Amen.